You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Dan Roebuck and Jamie Spence.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show. And after 74 attempts, Sergio Garcia ends his long wait for a major victory with a win at the Masters at Augusta.
I feel so nicely surrounded. Obviously, this is something I wanted to do for a long time, but it felt like a little bit of a drama, maybe, obviously with a happy ending.
Sergio overcame the challenge of England's Justin Rose, claiming victory at the first playoff hole.
You're going to win majors and you're going to lose majors, but you've got to be willing to lose them. You've got to put yourself out there. You've got to hit the top of the leaderboard. There's a lot of pressure out there, and if you're not willing to enjoy it, then you're not ready to win these tournaments, and I loved it out there.
The American challenge failed to materialise as the likes of Jordan Spieth and Ricky Fowler couldn't keep pace with the Europeans at the top. We've a full review of all of the action from Augusta to come, and we'll hear from all of the big names, including Garcia, Rose, Casey, McIlroy and Peters. Plus, we'll preview the next events on the European Tour, the Trophy Hassan d'Or in Morocco. I'm Dan Roebuck, and alongside me is Jamie Spence. Jamie, how are you?
Very well. A bit tired, staying up late watching that brilliant golf, Dan, but you just had to stay up and watch that one.
It was a very late finish over here. Over there, we will later in the show be joined by American golf broadcaster and friend of the show, Matt Adams. That's to come. But first of all, we've got to start with the drama at Augusta, and it came from the first hole to the last. In the end, it came down to two players, Sergio Garcia and Justin Rose, who both finished on 9-under, forcing a sudden-death playoff. At the first extra hole, Rose put his tee shot into the pine straw, meaning he had to chip out sideways, which resulted in a bogey for the Englishman. Garcia put his second shot to within 12 feet, and one putt was all he needed for a birdie and a Masters victory. His long wait for a major was over. South Africa's Charles Schwartzel finished third on 6-under, with America's Matt Kuchar and Thomas Peters of Belgium tied fourth on 4-under. An awful lot to discuss, Jamie. We're going to look at the final day in a minute, but first of all, the drama kicked off before pretty much the event was underway, with Dustin Johnson, after he injured himself, after falling at the house he was staying in at Augusta, something freakish on the eve of the tournament.
Totally unexpected, wasn't it? I mean, there's a guy who's won his last three events. This must have been the one he's looking forward to the most, and it was taken away from him just by a pure accident. You've just got to be careful what you're wearing around the house, Dan.
How do other players react to that? How did they react, do you think? Because he was
the
overwhelming favourite going into it. He'd won his previous three. Everyone was talking about the world number one. His Augusta form had got better over the last couple of years. It must have been a bit odd for the rest of the major contenders.
Listen, all you can do as a golfer is play your own game. We hear that. You get in your own little bubble and play. But there would be a lot of them think, well, there's one less man to beat and the world number one in such good form. So you'd be saying, well, I'm sort of glad he's not playing, but really it's all about me and what I do. I mean, the two leaders here shot 9-under par each. Dustin's only ever shot that once in a Masters before. So would he have got past it? Well, that's debatable.
It was down to 7, really, heading into the final round. We had the great American pairing, the youngsters of Messrs Spieth and Fowler, just tucked in behind Sergio Garcia and Justin Rose. But it was Garcia that got off to the perfect start with a birdie at the first.
Yeah, and what a drive he hit down there. It was a real statement of intent, I thought, just to get the driver out and smash it. Just before then, we'd seen Spieth and Fowler knock it into the bunker there and get off to a very stodgy start for both of them. Sergio birdies the first, then he smashes it 370 down the second. That was the longest drive. Well, Westwood did a long one down there as well. I think Sergio got it past that. It was just going in with a medium iron. Him and Justin both missed short putts for birdie there. And it just the drama just continued after that, didn't it?
Justin Rose, to a certain extent, when I was watching, seemed to be hanging on over the course of the first five holes. We saw Sergio pick up another birdie on the third. At that stage, he was too clear of Justin. And then, of course, Justin dropped a shot on the five. And at that stage, you're thinking, Sergio's three clear here.
Yeah, he was. He was putting a bit of daylight, but around there, you just know that players are going to come back at you. And so that proved on the seventh. And the eighth is such a fantastic par five. And you just know that going into that back nine, things are going to happen. And they did.
They did indeed. Just to remind everybody, Rose, of course, coming roaring back, as Jamie's intimated there, with birdies at 6, a birdie at 7, a birdie at 8 as well. And then at the turn, we go to Amen Corner, And it appeared that Sergio's race was about to be run here because he faltered badly, didn't he?
Well, he drove the ball so well going out, and then he gets on the 19. You could tell neither of them really liked that tee shot. They're both trying to hit three woods and whip it round the corner. None of them, they both came off it. And Sergio's second shot there was a shocker. Did well to make five. Then he sort of double-crosses himself a little bit, Sergio, down 11. Justin's right down the middle. Justin could have made birdie there. If he'd have made birdie there at 11, you know, the wind could have gone out of Garcia's sails. They both played fairly conservatively, I felt, at the next, the par three. And then 13 as well. Justin had another great opportunity there. So Sergio rode a storm there.
He did. I mean, 13, when you look back on it, do you think that was key to Sergio's win?
It seems to be. He needed to hold that putt. How many times, though, do you think he needs to hold this putt? There are plenty of those moments from both of them and other players as well, but that was probably the one, wasn't it? He said he hit a good drive. In his interview, Sergio said, I was happy with my drive. Problem is he does like to cut the ball off the tee, and that is not ideal for that hole. And Justin hit a terrific putt from the back of the green there, up that slope, didn't he? And missed the next one. So, yeah, a real turning point there.
I thought it was. I mean, in the end, they both made par, but you think when Sergio has the drop and he's really struggling and...
One was a 7-net 5 and the other was a 3-net 5.
It was insane. We could have had a 2-shot swing on that hole. Justin Rose could have been 4 clear and was probably odds on to get 4 clear. And as you mentioned, the first putt was tremendous from Justin Rose, but then didn't sink the birdie.
No, we saw a lot of players putt from that area, and none of them got as close as Justin did from off the green. So he just misread the second putt. It's as simple as that. And then, of course, Sergio comes back on 14 and hits it stiff. So game on.
At this stage, we've got so much focus, of course, on Garcia and Rose, but the challenges weren't really coming from anywhere else. Spieth had a bit of a nightmare on Sunday. Fowler never really got anything going. Neither did McIlroy at this stage. And we were so focused on these two, you can almost forget about Augusta. It was almost like a match play situation between them.
It became, I don't think so much. Through the back nine, Thomas Peters made a really good run. He looked like he was a man on fire. And Schwartzel as well. He could have got closer, Schwartzel, as could have Peters, but they didn't in the end. Spieth and Fowler. Fowler didn't play well Saturday, and he continued that form. You can't keep holding those putts for par. And Rory, what did he finish? Tied 7th, but he just never really got into it, did he, Rory?
No, we'll speak a little bit more about those challenges that unfortunately fell by the wayside shortly. But back on the head-to-head duel, after that unbelievable 13th, you have to say that Sergio Garcia certainly had the momentum at this stage. And what he did on 14 and 15... to turn it around was nothing short of sensational, especially on the 15th with the eagle.
An 8-iron in there. That's incredible, isn't it? You think back over the years, players hitting their hybrids and 4-irons. This 8-iron, what another brilliant drive he hit down there. But Justin hit a good shot in there as well, and he made 4, and he made a good 4 on 14, Justin. Good 2-putt he hit there as well. So he's hanging in there with Sergio at that point. And it did look like Sergio was going to had that sort of energy to pull away again. But again, it just... changed again.
He seemed to get inspired, and of course much has been spoken about the fact that Seve Ballesteros would have been 60 on the Sunday. It's interesting as well when you look back at the stats, Jose Maria Olazabal, he was the last player to eagle the 15th and go on to win. There was an awful lot of stars aligning for Sergio, wasn't there?
The other one for me is when Nicklaus won in 86, Seve dumped it in the water when he was in the lead. So when he was over that shot, I guarantee you Sergio had that thought at some point walking down that fairway, because that was his now or never moment.
He had momentum going into 16, and then wouldn't you know it, Justin Rose just fights back and birdies the par three.
Two great shots there. And that's Augusta, isn't it? That hole showed all the crowd reaction there on that hole. They did the low fives. They come off the tee.
What a fantastic moment that was. You know, one puts it close, then the other follows it in. Sergio Garcia just reaches out and Justin Rose instinctively just, you know, pats the hand. Fantastic sportsmanship.
It was, yeah. Well, obviously Sergio plays with more of his heart on his sleeve. Justin likes to keep in his bubble as well. But they know each other. They've played Ryder Cups together. They're good pals off the golf course. So you're trying to beat the hell out of each other on the golf course, but you like each other as well. It's a strange thing in golf, and it's a great thing that we got in our sport.
It's fantastic, and you don't see it that often in the heat of the Masters, do you, really?
No, you don't. I'm sure in the recesses of their mind they're thinking, well, if I don't win, you know, I hope it's going to be him. And it did come down to that, as you say. It became that match play situation. That can free you up a little as well, because you realise that no one is coming from outside the pack. It's down to you two and those two putts. I mean, Justin had the perfect putt on 16, didn't he, below the hole, and Sergio's was a horrible left to right when he hit a poor putt there.
And just before we go into the final couple of holes in regulation play, over the last few years there's been an awful lot talked about players throwing titles away and Masters green jackets away. We saw what happened with Jordan Spieth and Rory McIlroy, and if you delve further back into the archive, of course, Greg Norman. Didn't happen this time around. These were two sluggers going for it, weren't it?
Yeah, they still made mistakes. But you're going to make mistakes on a golf course like this where they put the flags. They're setting such a hard examination off the tee to the green, and then when you get on the greens, you see on the TV, you think, well, he's only 4 foot away. It looks easy. But you can't ram it in the hole because it'll go 15, 20 feet by. So the pressure's on you on every single shot here.
Pressure was on certainly on 17 because Justin led by a shot, but unfortunately bogeyed 17, allowed Sergio to come back at him.
On 15T, Justin just sort of winced a little bit after he hit his tee. I just feel there was something going on with his back then. He didn't get through that tee shot on 17. He leaked it right and he came up short again, didn't he? And then in the playoff, we saw a shot where he hit it a long way right. So maybe there was something physical going on with Justin, but he's such a tough man. Good bunker shot he hit there as well. Just came up short with a putt.
And on to 18, all square. Going
how good were
down
those drives, Dan? How good were those drives down the last?
Put it this way, given how many people we've seen over the years have sprayed it right, and I know that Justin did that in the playoff, but...
How narrow is that? It can't be that narrow.
Shots.
Surely that TV made it look more... It looks so narrow.
It probably looks even narrower to the players playing the last, but two great shots.
Brilliant.
But as you intimated, Rosie was struggling a little bit and sent it out right, but he got a really lucky bounce, didn't he, I think, on the last.
Yeah, just let it go right, but it doesn't come in from the left, does it? So he was playing between the bunker, I'd say, the flag from where he was, got a good fortuitous bounce to get it pin high, but it was still a good shot. And then Sergio just went straight on it.
Yeah, and then we had two putts. Rose, he would have thought he needed to hold this to force a playoff. He didn't manage to drop it. Looked a very good putt.
Tough to... We've seen that putt so many times, and it's one of those putts, you hit it straight, it goes, and if you hit it just a touch too far outside, it just doesn't break back in. We've all had those sort of putts. We've seen that putt time and time again. I actually thought neither would hold them. I thought the pressure was... And they've been at each other all day. Emotionally, it just drains the player. I didn't think either of them were going to hold those putts.
Which was the tougher putt? Rose was the longer putt.
I thought Sergio's was the tougher putt.
But Sergio's was downhill and just seemed to sneak away.
Tough one to read. So he said he practiced that early in the week and it turned a lot right to left. Well, it didn't. I'd rather have the putt, the little right to left across the slope, even though it was a bit longer. That I thought that one of Sergio's, you couldn't hit it. It was just a little touch, wasn't it, down the hill. He couldn't be firm with it. So they were both difficult putts.
Given what's happened to Sergio in the past in major championships, when you see one dribble by like that, everything is brought back, the Harrington Open and so on and so forth. You think, crikey, is that the chance gone?
Well, we were all thinking that, and he was thinking that. But I Mark Fulcher caddy for me for a couple of years, Justin's caddy, we're good pals, and I saw Justin go over and lean on Fulcher, and I think he thought that was it. You could see the emotion in Justin's face. I think he thought, that's my last go here. But it wasn't to be. So the emotions were there for both players, both caddies, and everyone else around them. So tough times, actually, for both players there, because as a spectator, you didn't want either of them to lose, did you? You actually wanted someone to win it, but it still would have made it hard on the fellow who didn't put on the jacket.
Rose, I guess, made it easier for Sergio because we went to the playoff, we went down 18 once again, and this time he did find the trees and he couldn't get there in two, and Sergio played some brilliant golf in the playoff to win it.
Probably the worst shot Justin hit for 72, 73 holes, that tee shot on 18. Sometimes your adrenaline just can flow out of you and you go out there in the playoff down the buggy and for some reason, you're not on your game. He did have that physical problem, I thought, earlier on. But anyway, he just hit a poor shot and Garcia just slammed it down the middle again.
Do you think the fact that obviously there is a bit of a gap between playing the last in regulation and then going to the playoff affected Rose a little bit more? Did the adrenaline just drop out of him? And you mentioned that injury. Garcia, of course, had time to think about his previous near misses. Difficult one to call.
We hadn't seen Justin hit a shot that wide, had we, through the week. So maybe that's true, but you never know what's coming in a playoff. You've just got to take it on and give it a smash. But Justin did say he was still aware that if he can make four, three's not a guarantee. He had to just chip it out, didn't they? They were saying on TV they liked him to take it on even more, but he said, look, there was no way that was possible. So he still had the wherewithal to get it, 20 feet? So he did well to give himself a chance.
Yeah, fitting, though, that Sergio nails the putt to make the birdie, and it was a fantastic putt and thoroughly deserved.
Please, he hold it. I think that was a fitting end to the whole thing, and what a great way to celebrate as well. And the crowd, they were rooting
for Sergio, two Europeans, and a great stage for European golf, but you did sense that the American galleries wanted Sergio to win.
I think all around the world, I think we realise that maybe this was... I said it before, a now or never moment for Sergio. I mean, had he not won last night, that putt on the 18th in regulation would have haunted him for a very, very long time for the rest of his career. But Justin's had his golden moments in Rio and winning a US Open at Merion. He realised that. And you can't not root for Justin as well, because he's such a great, great player and a great guy. So But Sergio, obviously the emotions were just running so high for Garcia. I never heard an American crowd chant a European name before.
Well, let's hear from the winner, who admitted he'd wondered whether he would ever claim a major victory.
Where my head was at sometimes, I did think about, am I ever going to win one? You know, I've had so many good chances, and either I lost them or someone has, you know, done something extraordinary to beat me. So it did cross my mind, but lately, you know, I've been getting some good help, and I've been thinking a little bit different, a little bit more positive, and kind of accepting too that if it for whatever reason didn't happen, my life is still going to go on. It's not going to be a disaster, but it's happened.
Do we believe him there, do you think, Jamie, if it hadn't have happened? I mean, he needed to get over the line in one of these events, and thankfully he's got there.
Well, the longer the time goes on, the more you're desperate for it. I mean, Colin Montgomery and Lee Westwood have played a similar amount to Sergio in terms of major participation. They've had amazing careers and not won a major. And Sergio was starting to fit into that bracket as well, wasn't he? But fortunately, he's won one. I think also, fittingly, it's the green jacket. I think that really is a really nice tribute to him and his career. If he doesn't win another major, to have that green jacket and for us to see him at the Masters in perpetuity is a really great thing.
Do you think he will win more majors?
I don't know whether he will, but he can, and I think this will really relax him. I think yesterday, the thing he said the most there, he stayed calm. He had that mental fortitude, and he just had that relaxed demeanour. And he said in his interview afterwards, he accepted what Augusta gave him, but he also accepted what it takes away.
Yeah, and that his mindset has changed because of that.
Totally changed, because he just gave himself a hard time. If he weren't birding a par five, he made a six and a five, it would carry over the next hole. You just can't do that. And he's realised that. It's taken him a long time to do that.
Was it his mindset? Was that the difference this week? Did he play any differently? People talk about the fact that he's more settled off the course.
That helps, yeah. His girlfriend, Angela, has been a big influence with Sergio. But he's the same golfer. But it's the best I've seen him drive the ball. By the little glitch around the turn, Justin is a tough man to beat. Really is, going head-to-head. We saw that in Rio. Justin just has that about him. He's got that cold steel. He's real ice man. He's like Stenson under pressure. So for Sergio to beat him, he had to stay calm. He had to stay with it, and he did.
Age 37, Garcia is the oldest first-time winner of the Masters since Angel Cabrera, who was 39 in 2009. The first Spanish winner of a major since Jose Maria Olazabal at the Masters in 1999. 17th victory at the Masters by a European Tour player since Seve won his first green jacket in 1980. And prior to this victory, Garcia was in joint second place in the list of most runner-up finishes in majors without winning. Colin Montgomery is top of the list with five. Well, as we know, back in second was Justin Rose, who came so close to claiming his second major after his victory in the US Open in Merion in 2013. So was this the one that just got away from him?
Yeah, I would say this one probably is one that slipped by, for sure. I mean, I can't pick holes in my performance. I felt fantastic out there. I felt cool, calm, collected. Could I have made the putt at 17? Of course I could. But, you know, for the most part, I'm not going to second guess one or two shots. I really stepped up. I really felt great. I felt in control. I felt positive. I felt confident. You know, barring a great comeback from Sergio, it was mine to cruise to the house. But, you know, it's not always that easy. I always said, you know, before I won at Merion, you're going to win majors and you're going to lose majors, but you've got to be willing to lose them. You've got to put yourself out there. You've got to hit the top of the leaderboard. There's a lot of pressure out there. And if you're not willing to enjoy it, then you're not ready to win these tournaments. And I loved it out there.
He sounds calm, and you mentioned that he is an Iceman, but inside, and I think just at the end of the playoff or just after the playoff, you could see a tear in his eye a little. He must be so frustrated and disappointed that he didn't get the job done.
Well, of course, he's a competitor. He's an ultimate competitor, Justin. He speaks really well. He's a likeable man, obviously. Everything he's done in golf, does everything the right way. But there's a steely competitor there, and he'll be hurting. He said it's going to take him a good few weeks to get over this one, and I can understand that. But he's get himself back together. He's got the US Open coming up in June and other tournaments as well. We're going to see him at the BMW PGA Championship as well at Wentworth. So, yeah, you just got to get back out as a golfer. You get plenty of disappointments in golf, and this is one of the ultimate ones, isn't it? When you've got a green jacket that close hanging in your wardrobe and it's whisking its way to Spain instead. It's hard, but he did everything right. Yeah, you could have held a few more putts, but you could say that about every. We forget about the ones he held, by the way. Concentrate on the ones he missed. But he played some fantastic golf Justin, he should be proud of himself.
Let's rattle through the others that just finished off the pace. Back in third, South Africa's Charles Schwartzel. He's going to be pleased with his performance, a former Green Jacket winner, of course. He will probably believe that he's left a few out there, but he's got to be fairly pleased because his season hasn't really been great this year.
No, he's a quality player. Schwartzel always has been. Not surprised to see him put in a great performance. I was saying in comms he could have putted better, but on these greens it's difficult to be too critical of your putting, but terrific performance.
Huge roar when Matt Kuchar aced the 16th. Good finish from him this week.
Brilliant. He says, you know, he likes to cut the ball, so he feels the course is against him. That's the best shot he's ever hit at 16. Not surprised, Matt. It went in. It was a great moment, and the crowd went absolutely mental. It was brilliant.
Thomas Peters tied with Kuchar in fourth. He was pleased with his final round.
I had a lot of good shots today. Just kind of slightly pulled most of my irons, and then I pulled one on 16, which was disappointing because it's quite a fairly straightforward shot, you know, middle of the green, and let it feed in. And I kind of disappointed the way I finished, but I made plenty of birdies today, and it was very positive.
Let's not forget he was a rookie, top rookie, of course, this year at the Masters. Brilliant playing from the Belgium, and potentially a Masters winner of the future.
Well, the way he hits the ball, the way he pitches, I mean, just got everything, Peters, really. It looks as if he's quite hard on himself. That probably comes with time, just to ease up, as Sergio's learnt. His golf is incredible. And when he gets a bit between his teeth, he's not frightened. He just goes at everything. So, yeah, what a future he's got.
Those are the ones just off the pace. Some of the big names didn't challenge in the end. Rory McIlroy, who finished tied 7th on 3-under, but despite missing another opportunity to win a career Grand Slam, he was happy with his week's work.
You know, nothing but positives ahead, I feel, and, you know, my game feels in good shape, and it's just a matter of working hard and putting myself in positions to win, and, you know, but, yeah, as you know, I've turned my focus to trying to get ready for the US Open in June and try to add to that major tally there.
It's another top 10 for Rory, Jamie, but he's not really interested in top 10s, is he?
No, but the thing is, if you're not really on your A game, what would he grade himself, Rory? Probably a 6 out of 10, 7 out of 10. If you're doing that and still finishing top 10, you've only got to improve a little bit and you're going to be at the top of the leaderboard challenging to win. So the improvement isn't massive for Rory. He knows that.
Well, Jordan Spieth and Ricky Fowler both fell away badly on the final day. Fowler bogeyed the last three holes. You sense that his heart might not have been in it at that stage, but he did have a chance to win going into the final day.
Well, Saturday, he was my tip for the week, Ricky, and so I was watching him quite closely Saturday, and he didn't play well. He holed a lot of putts just to hang around. You think, well, he's had his bad day. Let's see what he does on Sunday. But it wasn't much better. It was worse, I think. He just hit a lot of poor shots, especially with his wedge. His wedge play wasn't brilliant. Just had one of those days. 76. It's a shame for Ricky. He's going to have to live with that one.
And what about Jordan Spieth? Not just on the last day, but over the course of the week. That 9 on Thursday, he found water again on 12 on Sunday. I mean, his form is great there, but he's got a few demons as well.
I'm surprised at Spieth. I thought after Saturday, he just had everything going for him. He played terrific golf on Saturday and then just came out and just looked flat. Good pals as well playing with each other probably didn't help because they're probably feeling for each other as well, trying to pull each other along. It just wasn't happening. So for Spieth, a 75, disappointing day.
Well, there were 5 Europeans in the top 10, including, of course, Garcia and Rose at the top of the pile. Back in 6th was England's Paul Casey, who says he has mixed feelings about his week.
I had it going early. Wish I could have kept it going. You know, I kind of gave myself, realistically, very little chance anyway when you've got that many world-class guys ahead of me. And you can't give Sergio and Rosie and all these guys, you can't give them a 6-shot lead or a 5-shot lead or a 4-shot lead. So I was kind of playing for position, but I had a lot of fun. And nice to make a couple coming down the stretch. Just didn't have the firepower all the way through the round, but still a great week.
A quick word on Paul Casey's game. It's another very good Masters finish, another top 10 for the Englishman.
Yeah, he played well, didn't he? Held a few good saving putts, but his golf was terrific. And he needs to join the European Tour, doesn't he? Because it'd be a shame if he were to miss another Ryder Cup, Paul.
Yeah. Well, that's enough from us, Jamie. Let's get a view from across the pond as we welcome friend of the show, Matt Adams. Matty, what did you make of this year's Masters? Fantastic last day. Great tournament, full of drama from even before the first drive was off.
That's the truth. Good day to both of you. I thought that particularly in the final throws of this 2017 edition of the Masters, that it was one of the most fun Masters that I can think of in recent years. And that's not to take anything away from what Danny Willett did last year. It's not to take anything away from, say, what Jordan Spieth did the year prior. But when you have a head-to-head competition like this, and it is wrought with all of the side stories, and in many ways, I feel like this victory by Sergio Garcia was a victory for all of us. We all were carried along in this train of emotion because we've seen Sergio grow up before our eyes. We've seen the close calls. You know, the cliche in sport is to call it scar tissue. We've seen every one of those nicks in scrapes. And yet for him to break through when he did, how he did, at a time when we thought in the middle of the stanza that he wouldn't be able to close yesterday, that it was, oh, the ghosts and demons of Sergio's past seem to have reared their head once again. And yet he found the willpower to do what he needed to do when he needed to do it. It was great theater and really fun.
Did you think he was going to get the job done? Because as you mentioned there, as you alluded to, there were various instances over the course of the 18 that you think, crikey, this is Sergio reverting to type and the same things are going to be said about him. The same things are going to be written about him when he went to 10 and 11 and he dropped shots. And then we saw the trouble at 13. Then he missed the short one on 18 in regulation. Did you think, oh no, Sergio, this is going to go wrong for you again? Or did you still have faith?
I didn't. I thought that Sergio was going to be consumed by the moment instead of being the master of the moment as he had done in the past. And that wasn't solely because of what Sergio was doing, but it was also because of the posture of Justin Rose as well. Here was the gold medalist. Here was already a major champion that was carrying himself in that way. Justin Rose has this way of carrying himself with his shoulders back and erect that just speaks of confidence. And I didn't see him yielding, frankly. And at the same time, as you saw Sergio quiver coming into those moments with the pressure surrounding him, there was this sense of balance that while Sergio stumbles even the tiniest wee bit, it was going to be offset by the supreme confidence of Justin Rose. And this would be his major championship once more to add to on the shelf to take home. And it didn't play out that way. And again, that's where I go back and I say that's part of what made this thing so exciting in that, you know, Justin Rose, he lost the playoff, yes. But he really didn't lose this major championship. This was grasped by Sergio Garcia, and he was able to pull, I believe, victory from the jaws of defeat. It was really that good.
It was fitting, Matt, wasn't it? The first Masters without the great Arnold Palmer and with Dustin Johnson not being able to play because he slipped down the stairs, that we were treated to this epic duel between these two players, and especially with Sergio. I've never heard an American crowd singing a European player's name at the end of a tournament. It was incredible.
Yeah, it was brilliant. The thing that I think that we're all guilty of in our parochial world of golf is that we try to pre-write the story. Now, part of that is because of the massive amount of build-up hours that we have and everything else that goes into it. But we're all guilty of it. And the pre-written stories coming into this Masters was that Dustin Johnson was going to dominate with his natural gifts. And John Rahm is absolutely a prodigy. And he was going to come in and contend and win. And then, oh, don't forget, Rory is going to win because he's going to complete the career Grand Slam. And Jordan is back on form again and has his game on the tracks, particularly in greens and regulation. And the putter is going to come alive. And Ricky has been cast as the game's matinee idol and so on. The name that you didn't hear in the mix was the name Sergio Garcia. Frankly, you didn't hear the name Justin Rose enough either. And yet these two emerged to say, you pre-write the story any way you want to, but golf writes its own story. And that was part of what I really enjoyed about it. Before this Masters, on the 29th of March, I did a survey that we got 5,000 or 6,000 responses to, which is a pretty good core sample size. And I said, would you take DJ, Rory or Jordan or the field? 74% took the three over the field. 74%. And when you look at it now in retrospect, you say, you know what? That's the beauty of sport. That's the beauty of the world of golf. And the fact that it could come through and write the story that it wrote to have Sergio Garcia vanquish the demons on the 60th birthday of his hero, Seve Ballesteros, is just, it's mind-boggling, and it's one of the things that makes golf so special.
Were you surprised the amount of goodwill from the galleries to Sergio Garcia? And I know you talked about yourself and an awful lot of us wanting Sergio to win because we're involved in the game and there's a lot of goodwill from us, but he's not always been a favourite son of America and he's had his issues with Augusta as well. Were you surprised how much that they got behind him down the stretch?
I was very pleased by it. Yet, to some extent, I'd say I was surprised. But I think that in some ways, Sergio hasn't fully gotten a fair shake over the years. And just like you mentioned, I mentioned John Rahm, here was a young man that when he came to college in the United States, he couldn't speak English. And Sergio, I think when he was young, it was a combination of things. There was an element of petulance there. There was an element of immaturity in his character. Yet, I also think that as he was learning the English language, he wasn't always the greatest at picking the words that would best express how he was feeling. So he used the words that he knew. And as a result, people would sit back and they would either have or they would feign offense. And then the story was kind of written from there. And then when he got into the tussle with the galleries in New York a few years back, and listen, those aren't the most friendliest galleries anywhere, and they would tell you that themselves by their own defense. We've watched Sergio grow up before us. We've watched him mature before us. And all of us that know Sergio, we all know that he's a good guy. He always has been a good guy. And so what's cool about this now is that the world is able to see the heart of Sergio Garcia. And I'm not talking about the heart of the competitor. I'm talking about the warm, loving heart, the good person, the good humor, and the humility that has come both with his natural instincts and yet that which he has earned, well earned, over the course of the years playing professional golf all over the world. So in many ways, the person that, whether you're talking about fans in America or whether you're talking about fans any place in the world, which is why I think his win is good globally for the game, wherever they are, I think they know a different Sergio Garcia on this Monday than they had known previously with Sergio through all the years and all the trials and tribulations.
Now, Matt, why Jordan Spieth shoots 75 and Ricky Fowler shoots 76? What will their teams be saying to themselves here? Well, what's the way forward for Ricky, especially? Jordan's already won a couple of majors. What's the way forward for these two players? Because that was quite shocking to me.
Yeah, it was shocking to me as well. I mean, obviously the way forward, if you take a look at what Jordan is doing this year, I've gotten to know his coach, Cameron McCormick, quite well. And Jordan has flipped the switch on his stats from last year in terms of a season assessment to where he is as yet in this year, in that he is first in greens in regulation coming into the Masters. He's up there in the top five in accuracy off the tee. But interestingly enough, his putting, particularly in his bread and butter from 15 to 20 feet, has fallen off into the mid-100s on tour. My attitude on that, my thought on that is, you know what, the putting will come back to him, his putter will warm up, and if he has worked in these other portions of his game, if those attributes can be married to a putter that got hot again, watch out for Jordan Spieth. I still feel that way with Jordan. I think it, to some extent with this Masters, there was so much emotion riding on it. It's good for Jordan to have gotten this out of the way at a tie for 11th, and he moves on to 2018 as far as the Masters goes. With Ricky Fowler, I think Ricky has to prove himself on the big stage. I think obviously, and again, going back to this same theme of pre-writing the story, everybody wants Ricky Fowler to be a global golf star. But Ricky Fowler has to make all the connections to stand up and do what he needs to do in major championships. And I think that's part of his own maturing process. And he's not there yet, is frankly where I see that going. Although, Jamie, I want to ask you a question, too, because I was thinking about this yesterday. When you have two players that go out and they shoot in the mid-70s, right, obviously they're not very pleased with it either. They can't be. The question is, and Jordan kind of alluded to this afterwards when he was speaking, do players draft off whoever they're playing with, good or bad?
Absolutely, they do, Matt. I think the fact they're good pals as well. Sometimes you want to play against someone that you're not that pally with. You can just concentrate on your game and you're not really worried about what he's doing, good or bad. So that can help you for sure. I'm a little bit concerned with Spieth, the fact that he's working all the stuff that he wasn't very good at, and he forgets the real core of his game, which is that short game, that putting and that attitude that he brings to the golf course. I hope he brings that back, and I think you're spot on with Ricky. He's got to prove himself on the big stage.
One final one, Matt. You're just talking about two players who we're obviously going to see on major leaderboards over the next few years in the shape of Spieth and Fowler. Will we see Garcia, he's 37 now, on leaderboards for the next 3 or 4 years when it comes to the big tournaments?
You know what's funny about that, Dan? If you go back, Jamie can go on this tour with me, because if you go back prior to the Tiger era, if I may, 37 years old was the pinnacle age that people used to say that a golfer actually had all of his attributes, emotional, physical experience. Everything came together at that moment. It was 37 years old. And as the players got, it was Tiger with the 4A, but as the players got younger, 37 all of a sudden put them in, you know, a robe and a chair someplace and let them watch what's going on with Keith. Now he's 37 years old. Jack won his last major at 46 years old. I think Sergio Garcia right here, right now, has finally introduced us to who he is and who he was meant to be. And I think to a certain extent, if I may be so bold, he has met this person for the first time as well. I think when the sports world and the world of golf is so quickly to say that one is bearing these great scars, right? I think it's also fair to say that once the breakthrough comes, you realize that you have what it takes to get it done. And from that standpoint, I do think there's more to come from Sergio Garcia. And I'm excited about it. I don't know how you guys feel about this, but I think with this victory, I think this probably gets him into the Hall of Fame, because we know that there's also going to be a Ryder Cup captaincy in his future as well. So I think this is an incredibly significant moment and will lead to more success.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to find out. And it's always great to watch Sergio. And it's always great to have you on the show, Matt. Many thanks. We will speak again soon.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Always great to hear from Matt. Now we can hear from the wider world on social media, and a number of players have tweeted about Sergio Garcia's success. Jamie, who have you got?
I've got Rory McIlroy. Two unbelievable players and two great friends, but I couldn't be happier for Sergio Garcia. You deserve it all, amigo.
This is from Ian Poulter, who says, "What a master. Sad to see Justin miss out, but Sergio Garcia to win a major on Seve's birthday and finally become a major champion."
And Darren Clark, "Just brilliant for Sergio Garcia. Feel for Justin Rose, but both guys were just amazing."
And finally, from Graham McDowell, "Congrats, Sergio Garcia, always a great champion and now a deserved major champion." Time to get the top 10 from the 2017 Masters, Jamie.
Well, joint ninth, Adam Scott, he couldn't buy a putt, could he? And Ryan Moore. In tied seventh, Kevin Chappell, he did well. And Rory McIlroy, sixth on his own, Paul Casey. Tied fourth, the ever-impressive Thomas Peters, and the hole-in-one man, Matt Kuchar, previous green jacket holder, Charles Schwartzwood, third. Justin, the unlucky runner-up, and our fantastic champion, Sergio Garcia.
Fantasy Race 2 Dubai tips from last week. Jamie, you went for Ricky Fowler and Justin Thomas, 11th and 22nd. Not bad.
Yeah, not bad, but...
not great, but not bad.
Yeah, I thought Ricky should have done better than that, really, shouldn't he, with the weekend ahead of him, but there you go.
Yeah, I went for Dustin Johnson, who, of course, didn't play.
Well. He did really well.
Mark Leishman, who started strongly but finished tied 43rd in the end, and Jamie Kennedy, who was our guest from the European Tour, of course, last week, he picked out Justin Rose, who was obviously second, and also, like Bill Huss, who eventually finished tied for 36. Head to europeantour.com for all the latest in our Fantasy Race 2 Dubai game, and keep an eye on europeantour.com this week for their Fantasy 3 to watch at the Trophy Assain d'Or, more of which in just a second. Ahead of that, though, Jamie, we need the top 10 in the Race 2 Dubai standings.
Well, some big names now in this top 10, as you'd expect. Rafa Cabrera-Bello, he's at 10th. Hideto Tanihara, he's coming into play at 9th. Rory's at 8. Ross Fisher at number 7. Thomas Peters at 6, Schwartzel at 5, Justin's moved up to number 4, John Rahm is at 3, Tommy slipped down one place to 2nd, and our number 1, as you can expect, the Masters champion, Sergio Garcia.
And we need the top 10 in the world after the first major of the season. How do the rankings now stand?
Well, a few changes. Obviously, Dustin Johnson keeps his number 1 spot, but down in 10th is Justin Thomas. Ricky has gone down to number 9. Up to 8 is Justin Rose. Up to 7 from 11th place, Sergio Garcia. Henrik Stenson's dropped down a place to number 6. Jordan Spieth's in 5, and it's the same top 4. Matsuyama, Jason Day, Rory McIlroy, and of course, the number 1 still, Dustin Johnson.
On to this week's event on the European Tour. It is the Trophy Assain d'Or in Morocco, a nation that, of course, you've won in, Jamie.
Amazingly enough, yeah, I only won twice, and one of them was over here. I played my first event on this golf course as well, back in 1987. And I thought, what am I doing? This course is so long. Back then in the 80s, this course was just a monster, but not to these guys.
This is Royal Golf Dar es Salaam in Rabat. Has it changed over time? What do players need to do to be successful?
It hasn't changed much. They're going to push the... I understand they're pushing the eighth back to make it a par five. They made it a par four last year. It didn't really work that. I don't like it when they make fives in the fours. But it's a long track, tree line, there's water. It's just a wonderful golf course. Small greens as well, actually. So you need every part of your game to work here. The practice facilities are superb as well. So they really look after you well there. Dan Rocco, it's a good prize fund as well, but a really, really good golf course. Saw one of the shots of the year there last year, Nacho Evira in the playoff. Hit a three-wood over the bunker on the last par five. Pitched on the green, could have won, but Wang hold a 30-footer to keep alive.
And he defends his title, of course, this week, having played in the Masters but missed the cut. Has he got every chance to go in again, do you think?
Yeah, why not? He seems to be winning on a regular basis, doesn't he? It's a long trip, though, isn't it, coming back from America here? So I don't know. Obviously, he's going to have a chance. There's other players there as well, though, Dan.
Indeed. Just before we get to the players, what about conditions in Morocco? Are they difficult for players?
Be warm. No, it'd be beautiful. Every time I play this course a number of times, it's always been in fantastic condition. This time of year in Northern Africa, it's a beautiful climate. You've got the ladies' tournament as well on the other golf course at the same venue. So it's a busy, busy week.
You mentioned Yunhong Wang, who will defend his title. Jos Luiten's playing. Brandon Stone, who's won on tour this year. This is a good event this week, isn't it?
Yeah, a really good event. And the European Tour gets going again. We've had a few quiet weeks. All the guys will be itching to get out. They'll have all watched the Masters, you know. They'll all be inspired watching Sergio from their couches, and they'll be flying off as we speak on that charter flight down to Morocco, and they can't wait to get out there.
Yeah, a few other players to mention. Jordan Smith, every single time that I speak to one of you guys on the show, you wax lyrical about this young man. He played very well in Qatar. He's shown up on leaderboards over the course of this season. Could this be his week?
Possibly. He's still got it to do. Yeah, we're looking at potential when we talk about a player like Jordan. Obviously, he did incredibly well to win the Challenge Tour. So, yeah, he's still got it to prove, but he's doing everything right so far. You go a little bit further down the list. David Horsey's got a tremendous record in Morocco. In general. He just plays, I don't know why he plays well, but he always does play well out there. And then you've got the Musketeers from France, Alexandre Levy and Victor Dubuisson. Where's he been?
He's not played that often. Only two appearances in 2017.
It's odd, isn't it?
But a lot of talent.
Great talent, but he just needs to get back out on the range and stop driving fast cars, I think. Get his golf game back because he's a talent.
Okay, we need some selections then. Who are you going for this week? Just blimey. The one this week. We had two for the Masters, only one for Morocco.
The Ryder Cup captain's come all the way back to play as well, right, by the way. Thomas Bjorn.
Are you going to tip Thomas to win?
No, I'm not, no. I think weak in the commentary booth probably doesn't help your golf game.
Doesn't sharpen up the game.
No, I'm tempted to go with Horsey, but that's a little bit boring, isn't it, because of his record. Do you know what? The player who's playing well this year, and they tend to keep playing well this time of year, is James Morrison. Good player, James. So I'm going to go with him, James Morrison.
Okay, James Morrison. You mentioned Horsey.
He's got a good singer as well.
He's got a good record in Morocco, but not at this particular track. He missed the cut, incidentally, last year. I'm going to pick out Alexandre Levy, who was top four
in
Malaysia. Another player that you think should have kicked on a little bit, maybe.
He's the French player that could make the Ryder Cup team in 2018, in my view. He's got the game. He just gives it a rip. He's got all the game. He just needs to do it. I'm not surprised you've picked him. Okay. He's a top player.
Well, we'll look forward to watching Morrison, Levy and the rest play in Morocco. That is it, though, for now. Next week, we'll have a full review of the Trophy Ascendant and we'll look ahead to the Shenzhen International. Until then, you can stay up to date with the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat and Instagram. And don't forget, you can send us a question to the show. Tweet it to @EuropeanTour using the hashtag ETPodcast. But for now, from Jamie Spence.
Goodbye, everybody.
And from myself, Dan Roebuck, it is goodbye. We'll see you next time.